All right, this is the interactive portion of the program with Lucy Pringle, and we'll take your calls when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back, Lucy Pringle, with us. Lucy, did you ever get the punchline for that last one?
Yeah, I did. I did.
Can you say, can it be said on the radio?
Yeah.
Okay.
We had both our eardrums perforated, and he had an uplifting experience that lasted for 24 hours.
That's about as safe as you can get it, I guess. Well, now, what about the other story that you said was too long before the break?
Yes, but may I just for the moment go on, just continue with this, if you'll forgive me, because, you know, that was only a minor event which affected those two people, and there was actually a very, very strange event that happened in 1994 when a friend of mine, he rang me one evening, and he said, something has happened in a field. This was just outside Guildford, not far from where I live.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I think something's happened in the field, in a crop circle. So I said, well, it's a bit late now. I'll join you tomorrow. And what he found was a bird. It seemed to have exploded, George.
A bird?
A little bit of feather and flesh, and the blood was going right down to, through the various layers of crop.
Oh, my.
So we took samples of it, and we sent it down to a biologist in Cornwall, and he came back, and he said, it looks as though a bird has exploded in the circle. And on the outside of the circle, we could see that a fox had killed a pigeon. That was perfectly obvious. But what we found in the middle was this rather sort of ghastly mess of blood and feather and goodness knows what. And so I was completely flummoxed by this. And I visited the site several times. And as I was walking down one of the tram lines one day, I came across an empty cartridge. Now, all I can think was that a bird must have been lying in the field dead, it had been shot, and or maybe it hadn't been, it wasn't killed, but it was in the field when exactly at the time when the formation appeared, and it just exploded. The force of the formation exploded. So we know that the force is absolutely huge, and I wouldn't want to be around when a formation appeared. I can tell you that. And there was another, I got another report here on this. It says here, this was a man. He said, the strangest and most chilling thing I've ever seen was a body of a hedgehog which appeared to have been completely drained of body fluids, as if it had been freeze-dried. I grew up in the country, so have seen lots of dead wildlife, but I've never seen anything like this. It was in the path into the formation, to the Avebury Traslow formation in 1991. There appeared to be no external injuries, but it looked almost flat. A friend who was with me at the time was used to picking up roadkill for a friend of his who was a taxidermist, but he'd seen nothing like that. Jeez. I would have taken it away, but my friend was adamant that it was not going to go into his car.
When you took, Lucy, when you took the aerial photos of most of these formations, are you up in a helicopter?
Yes, I am. I am, and there was one pilot who actually refused to fly over. This was actually, this wasn't in a helicopter. He was in a microlite, but he refused to fly over the formations ever again because all his machinery, all his electronics,
his instruments,
completely
whacked out,
changed, and they went. I mean, they completely they were no use again, and so he just said, well, he wasn't going to fly over them again. It was too dangerous.
Jeez, let's go to some of the phones for you, Carl in the Bronx, to get us started. Hi, Carl, welcome to the program.
Hi, George, and
Lucy.
A happy holiday season, and I have a multi-question about the crop circles. Number one, you know, I have like A, B, C, and D type question where One, I'm wondering if any of these crop circles have anything to do with the sunken city of Atlantis, all the discoveries that are kept secret now in Antarctica, pyramids found in Antarctica, and also, you know, the curing of people in the crop circles where in Fatima and other places in South America where the waters can cure people.
Mm-hmm.
A miracle in Fatima that occurred with the sun. Do any of these areas and miracles where the Virgin Mary appeared to the children of Fatima have any ties to the crop circles? And also, I understand that in some of the crop circles, metal, they went in there with metal detectors and they found gold, silver, plaques or metals inside the crop circles that were recovered in some of the crop circles in England. There's such a mystery, about these crop circles, and I know that there are people whom are going in, making humans that are making these circles, but I believe that the number of circles that are being made by humans doesn't explain the overall phenomena of the crop circles. I think that these things are actually being created through it's an interdimensional, activity that's going on. It's a form of communications, and I think it may go back even to when the Atlanteans were on the planet. In the Pacific Ocean, and some of the discoveries that are going on in Antarctica, which are being kept totally a secret.
All right, let's get some of her take, Carl, on some of these, if we can. First of all, any kind of special metals found within these formations?
Well, I was interested to hear your listener talk about that, because, in fact, he's quite right, but they were found, I think, in Germany. And so far as I'm concerned, that story has never been confirmed. Just like I hear stories of circles in India, but I've never had those properly confirmed. So I hate to say I'm just a tiny little bit skeptical about that.
And in the crop circles and their medicinal abilities, is it like the energy at Lourdes in France and things like that?
Well, I think what we're dealing with overall, George, is frequencies. You know, we are all a mass of frequencies, electrical frequencies, and all over the world. And when you go into these crop circles, there are frequencies, and some people react well to them, some people don't. I think it's all to do with frequencies. Even, I may add, you don't have to be in a crop circle, but you could be just in a lecture room and people could be playing, showing pictures of crop circles. In fact, there's one conference where a couple of times I finished by showing maybe 20 minutes of just plain circles to the most beautiful music. I don't say anything, and these circles appear one after the other to this lovely music. And I got this email from somebody who was there one time, and she said it wasn't until your presentation on the 27th of July that I realized my past, my present, and my future. In other words, my purpose came into being. The first three crop circles that you showed in your sight and sound presentation hit me so powerfully, I wasn't able to breathe. I had an intense release of emotions. Feelings of love, belief, knowing, meaning. Now, how many of us, George, can actually say we know our purpose in life? I mean, that is a huge statement and a wonderful statement.
Well, of course it is, absolutely. Any tie into Atlantis or the pyramids?
Well, I'm fascinated by Atlantis, and I I knew a most wonderful man many, many years ago. He's now dead. And we used to talk about Atlantis an awful lot. And he he recalls, this was what he told me, he recalls being a pilot and in those days, and he used to fly into Atlantis. And we were chatting, and I said, how did you steer the plane? And he said, oh, with the palms of his hands.
Hmm.
And then he was talking to, he was somewhere else, and he was, the subject of Atlantis came up, and he was discussing it again. And then suddenly, from behind the sofa, a little boy popped up and said, yes, I remember. But wasn't the sea so blue? Well, this child had just, whatever Ted was saying, had struck a chord with this child who'd sent him straight back to his life in Atlantis, or so it appeared. So, yes, I mean, these are mysteries, and this, the crop circles are mysteries, and I think we all love a mystery. And in fact, if we knew everything, the answer to everything, just imagine how bored we'd be.
Big time. Next time, it's Ed in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hi, Ed.
Yeah, great show, George. I really love the work you do and enjoy it immensely. Lucy, I have two quick questions. One, my understanding is that where the people have tromped around in the fields, that they break the grains off and snap them, and that in the real crop circles, that the crop is actually just bent at an angle, and it has not been broken off, that it's like growing sideways. And a second question, I've heard some places they've had cameras set up that the crop circles are formed. They see these balls of light show up, and they zip around and make the crop circles. And I was wondering if any of what I've heard is true.
Well, you're on the first question. You're absolutely, totally correct. The crop isn't damaged in any way whatsoever. It's just bent over at the bottom, almost like a sort of microwave effect. And tests were done by a scientist in America called Lefty Levengood, and he found that the heat traveled up in through the interior of the crop, sort of heating as it went up, like a microwave effect. If you put a potato in a microwave, it cooks from inside. That is the principle behind it. As for the balls of light being recorded, I recall that, and again, I'm suspicious about that, because somebody said, well, the way the light was shining was not correct for the time of day at which it was supposed to have been taken. So again, one has to look very carefully at these things and scrutinize them, because there are many stories that float around which really end up by not being credible at all. So whereas your first one is 100% correct, I have my doubts about the particular video that was taken of the balls of light.
Would you say, Lucy, that the crop formations are diminishing as opposed to what they were 20 years ago in terms of numbers?
Yes, yeah. Again, and I believe that's because our lack of interest and the press, the way the press treats them. I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about the National Geographic.
Sure.
Well, because several years ago, the National Geographic magazine got in touch with me and said, due to all your research, at that time I was 20 years of research, we'd love to interview you and do a video.
A feature on you.
Who else is going to be included? And they said, oh, just you, Lucy. So we met in a field, a crop circle, down in Wiltshire, and I was surprised at the very sort of superficial level of questioning. It seemed to be very trite and bizarre. It didn't seem to have any depth to it whatsoever. Anyhow, a couple of days later, another circle appeared very close by, and I didn't like the look of that circle, so I got in touch with the producer, and I said, do you by any chance know anything about that circle? And she said, oh, yes. She said, we had it made with the farmers'
committee. Oh, jeez.
And I said, oh, come on, that's not part of the agreement. Oh, Lucy, don't you worry, she said. Don't you worry, you'll be quite happy when you see the program. Well, when I saw the program, I was given half a minute's coverage, and anything scientific I might have said had been edited out. And the people who paid the circle were given 2.5 minutes.
That's the way it happens.
There was a further story about the National Geographic where several of us were approached to do a program, and we all said no. We'd all had bad experiences. And to cap the story was this one told me by a friend of mine who is lives in the Netherlands. He was walking past Silbury Hill about midnight one night, and a lot of people stay up overnight because, you know, they hope to see a formation appear. And they seat themselves high up on the Wansdyke and say that they can look down on the fields below. Anyhow, this man was walking past the wonderful Silbury Hill mound, and he looked up towards West Kennet Long Barrow, which is another very sacred place, and he saw lights. So he walked up, and he saw a film crew. And so he went up to the producer and said, "Oh, do tell me what you're doing." And she said, "Oh, we're doing a film for the National Geographic of men making a crop circle." "Oh," he said, "how interesting." So he went over, and to his absolute amazement, there were people with their boards and their stomping feet and everything. They were walking around a circle which had appeared 2 weeks before. Now, the way that film was photographed, was videoed, was shot, to the whole world, it seemed as though those men had made that circle.
Right, right.
I mean, that is absolute fraud. And it was so disappointing because when I was at school, I was at boarding school away from home, we were allowed to have certain magazines, and we were allowed to have the National Geographic because it was considered to be educational.
Oh, it was. And it was great science, too.
Well researched. And, so you have to say to yourself, why is this happening? Why are they going to this length to try and rubbish this subject?
And they don't have to rubbish it either, because it's there. It's real.
It's real, but they're frightened. Is a lot of pressure being put on them, or are they frightened on it, or what is it that is behind this total deception and total ignorance and refusal to acknowledge that there is a genuine phenomenon? There is our man-made ones. No doubt about it, but there is also a genuine phenomenon where no human can possibly have been involved.
Well, you know what I say, Lucy, is all you need is one crop circle that is not made by man. Just one. Thousands Absolutely. Could be made by men, but if you get that one, that's all you need.
Yes. Would you like me to tell you the story now of this other...
We will not have time. We're coming up on the break on that, and then we're going to come back with final calls, so we'll just play it by ear. Lucy Pringle, our special guest, The Energies of Crop Circles, that's her latest book. Her website, which is out of the United Kingdom, is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. And also, don't forget to subscribe to our free YouTube channel at Coast to Coast AM Official when you search on YouTube. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, along with Lucy Pringle. Our final segment with Lucy here. Her book is called The Energies of Crop Circles. And Lucy, where do people get your book?
Ah, well, they could go onto my website, and I'd be very happy. They could get it there, and I'd be very happy to sign a copies for them. And it all helps. My research, fund my research, you see. It's hugely expensive, my research. And I just believe that the work we're doing is so important that if, in fact, we could in any way help the medical establishment find a cure for Parkinson's, that in itself alone would be testimony to the existence of the crop circles. And, you know, strange things happen, just like an apple falling from a tree suddenly explains gravity. Why shouldn't it suddenly we find something which will explain Parkinson's? And I also take tours and wonderful tours in order to try
Good
and
for you.
Fund my this. I do believe it's passionately that it's important research, and also to do the flying to take the pictures, the photographs of these wonderful formations.
Super. Let's go to Alexander in New York City. Hi, Alexander. Go ahead, sir.
Hello, Miss Lucy. How are you? I'm interested in listening to you about talking about crop circles.
Uh-huh.
I have a question. How do these crop circles actually make? Are they like, you know, are they designed by like UFOs or tornadoes or something? Because I saw an episode on Ancient Aliens, and I was like, man, this is amazing. How do they do that?
It is the $64,000 question, Alex, to be sure. Lucy?
Yes, I quite agree with you. We don't know. And it's great to be able to say we don't know about certain things. We just simply don't. We don't know the actual force or the progenerator behind this phenomenon, but we know. We know. I'm quite convinced there's an intelligence. But what that intelligence is, I simply have no idea.
Let's go to Matthew, truck driving in Pennsylvania. Hello there, Matthew.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay, thank you.
I have a potential theory. I was thinking that I wonder if the possibility of these crop circles can be from really strong signals that may have been sent from other planets potentially millions of years ago, and the signals are just now reaching us. And it could have been from either extraterrestrials who have developed the ability to travel here or other species that have yet to develop the same technologies.
Lucy, I don't think you can rule that out.
I don't think we can. I think there have been many previous civilizations we know nothing about, which could have been from other planets, other existences. Yes, I think so. We cannot rule anything like that out.
What was that story you wanted to tell us now?
Oh, about this, this eyewitness formation. Yes, it was quite extraordinary. I'd been giving a talk at a college in Hampshire, and there was a woman who'd been particularly interested in it, and she took a taxi afterwards, and she said to the taxi driver, "I've just been to a fascinating talk on crop circles." And the taxi driver said, "Oh, I saw one appear at Stonehenge." Well, this got back to me very, very quickly. And I thought, well, no, there hasn't been one, obviously, by Stonehenge this year. And I rang through, I made various inquiries, and no, there hasn't been one. So I managed to get hold of the taxi driver's telephone number. And I said, "I'm very, very interested in your story, but there isn't a crop circle at Stonehenge at the moment that we know about." And she said, "Oh, no, no, it was years ago." So I said at that particular time, there'd been one in 1996, one in 1997, and one in 2002. It just shows how long ago it was and how long it took the story to get to me. And she said, "Oh, my goodness, I know exactly when it was. It was in 1996, she said, because my son was in the army, and we were going on leave to visit him. And she said, moreover, I know it was a Sunday. Because as we were traveling down the A303, which is normally absolutely chock-a-block with traffic, all the traffic was coming back from the west. She was going down to the west, so she had a clear run. And as she came down from the roundabout, going down from Amesbury to Stonehenge, and you see Stonehenge in the distance, and it's incredible how small it looks. Even in comparison, when you get right up to it and you actually are standing by those amazing megaliths. And as she got closer, she saw this isolated cloud hovering above the field opposite Stonehenge. And as she got closer still, she saw a whole lot of cars pulled into the edges of the verge looking into the field. And she thought, I wonder what on earth they're looking at. So a car pulled out, and she nipped in quickly. And to her absolute amazement, she saw the crop going down in front of her eyes. Well, I think if I saw the crop going down in front of my eyes, I'd hardly believe what I was seeing. Anyhow, she watched it in absolute fascination. And I said, what was happening to the cloud? She said, well, this was very, very strange. There seemed to be some sort of communication between the cloud and what was happening in the field. Because as the crop expanded, the fallen crop expanded in the field, so the cloud seemed also to expand and rotate at the same time. And she said, as she was on the same level as the field, she couldn't possibly see the shape except that this crop was going down. So I said, well, how long do you think it took? And she said, I have no idea, she said. When you're watching something like that, you're not looking at your watch. So I said, no, I don't suppose you are. So I pressed her a bit, and she got quite annoyed with me. She said, well, I don't know, 20, 25 minutes, 30 minutes. And so again, I pressed her, and she said, Lucy, I was there. I know what I saw. You weren't there. You don't know what I saw. So, I mean, she was a wonderful Irish woman. There was no arguing with her. And that filled me with despair, 20 to 30 minutes, because all the previous ones I heard about was reported to me had appeared in just a matter of seconds. So how could this be 20, 30 minutes? So I drove away feeling very despondent. And then I suddenly thought, hold on a minute. All those other ones were just simple, single circles. And this one was huge. It measured 915.5 feet by 500 feet.
Wow.
And it consisted of 151 circles. So I rang through to James Lowndes, and I said, listen, Tim, could there be any connection between the size and number of the circles? And he said, of course, just send me all the dimensions. He was fascinated by the cloud. He said, this is all part of the formation process. It comes up from the underground spring during the formation process. And this is what he wrote. It's generally accepted that as a result of work conducted in the 1990s, it is possible to calculate the time a formation takes to appear based on the size and number of circles. The method relates to the Earth's gravitational and magnetic fields. This predicts a velocity of a resulting vortex filament of some 10 foot per second. Now, that is interesting. And to create the 151 circles in the 915 times 580 foot pattern would take of the order of 20 to 25 minutes to create. The descending force admits an electrical discharge which releases bubbles from the underground aquifers which rise up through the surface of the ground and patterns are formed. These patterns develop like embroidery, half above the ground and half under the ground in a sort of loopy manner. There is less pressure outside than inside, therefore there's a sort of sucking down motion from inside which bends or sucks down the crop at the base. The mist would appear to be as a result of cool water vapor rising from the aquifer beneath and behaves in a manner similar to what happens in the lab when electrical discharges are created through water and different patterns emerge on the surface. Mist forms a little distance from the triggering point, which would support what occurred in this case. M could see the circle growing. As for the height of the mist, it would be no higher than the radius of the formation created, and the mist cloud would grow as the formation grew. Well, I wrote back to Jim, and I said, that's all very well. I said, science is an absolutely desperately important, integral part of everything, but there's more to this phenomenon than science.
Yep.
And he wrote back saying, more. However, the more complex patterns have additional information contained in the sphere, and who or what presses the button to make these is not within our present knowledge or understanding.
Good point. Let's go to some final calls.
Very good point. And I think that actually says it all, because it is not within our present knowledge or understanding. No matter how our technology improves, our methodology, things are still beyond our understanding.
Let's go to Garrett in Portland, Oregon. Hi, Garrett. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Yeah. It's an absolute pleasure to be on.
Super.
So I caught the episode with Mr. Levengood's focus, and that brings me to you, Lucy. You mentioned him. I was wondering if there's any correlation between the plasma and the fields and this this cosmic ray burst of radiation that you experienced and the sun. You see, you mentioned also a crop circle that was detailing pi to the power of 9 in ellipses, which
yes,
is a representation of the solar system. And this obviously goes beyond just planet Earth. Have there been any crop circles on other planets? Is there, like I said, any correlation to the sun? George, you were talking about how Earth might be alive.
Yes.
I postulate perhaps it's not Earth, but the sun or the entire solar system.
What do you think about that, Lucy?
It absolutely, as I mentioned, the sun is our primary source of energy. And so it's absolutely essential. And as I mentioned, the sun, if you think about it being a battery, that's the positive end and the Earth is the negative end. And it's the forces of energy spiraling down to from the sun and penetrating our atmosphere and creating the energy lines. And it's a sort of like a magnetic force. So I go along with that 100%. And indeed, we certainly have episodes where plasma has been involved.
Yes.
In fact, matter occurs in four elements. You have the gas, the liquid, the solid, and plasma. And of all these, the most abundant is plasma, which occupies 99% of the cosmos. And there's been instances where you get plasma walls occurring in crop circles. And so, yes, he's absolutely right on many occurrences. As for crop circles on other planets, we don't know enough about the other planets.
Not yet, but it'd be funny if we got
yes
the...
Or no.
We need plants for that. Let's go to Angie in Mesa, Arizona. Go ahead, Ange.
Hi, George. How are you doing this evening?
Okay, great. Thank you.
Hi, Ms. Pringle. I just wanted to tell you, you are awesome. Great information. You have a great show tonight. Love it. All the information. You're so wonderful. I did have a couple of questions, or rather statements. I thought all your information is just fantastic, and I've learned a lot. And I am a member of Coast to Coast Army and everything. And so I've listened to so much stuff and learned so much. I love Coast to Coast. But in the past, I'm going to bring up some stuff, and I was just wondering if your thoughts on some things. And I know about, you know, these crop circles and state crop circles and all that good stuff. And, you know, like Stonehenge and then the American Stonehenge and the ley lines and, you know, the electric magnetic fields and all that kind of thing. And was wondering your thoughts about, because I know there was a show not all too long ago, and George, I'm sorry, I don't remember who your guest was, but I do remember distinctly talking about the discussion you guys had about, you asked about crop circles, are they fake, are they real, whatever, and obviously some are fake. And the distinction of the crop circles, and you were talking about pyramids and the discussion that pyramids are on, like, every planet, not just us. But more importantly, back to the crop circles, that what are they, what do they mean, and this type of thing. And it was distinctly said that these crop circles actually are a language. They are messages left from, you know, obviously not people on our planet or what we consider our human beings, but from other galaxies, other, you know, artificial intelligence, you know, to other artificial intelligence, leaving some sort of messages to others, you know, that come here. And we, of course, don't know what they mean, but I was wondering if she knew anything about that. Do you remember that show?
I remember the show. The clock has got us, though, Angie. We're going to have to continue this at a later time. As far as we're concerned, Lucy Pringle, you're the best. Keep up what you're doing. The energies of crop circles. For Gina Salvati, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Lottasour, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, Tim Banal, Ian Punnett, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.